This is the Threshing Floor, Spirituality Unbound.
Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. April the 8th, 2012. It is Easter. We don't celebrate Easter exactly. We do celebrate resurrection and transfiguration. Easter, a day that those who celebrate yet know him not. And it is a return back to the Threshing Floor after several months. I speak when I'm spoken to. And in the early hours of this day, I was spoken to. I want to say thank you for those who have continued to support and encourage and a season of dryness and a season of silence. Some of you saw the notice that I put on the front page of Threshing Floor, and it had to do with the silence. And we break the silence with an understanding. The deep things, the things that go beyond the superficial, the 3D world, and into the divine realms of the ascended master, Jesus Christ. To understand what is written and to understand what has been revealed, lo, these many ages. And the most important words, the words which unlock the scriptures, those found inside the Bible as well as outside, are just, oddly enough, seven words. They are all you need to understand spirituality and to decode the words of Jesus. And it is Luke 17:20. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for here it is. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus often referred to the Son of Man, and it was both referring to him and yet seemingly not just of him. The third person reference, given that he often did refer to himself as I, is a cryptic pointer. Hebrews 2:6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or Son of Man that thou visitest him? In Hebrews 2:6 it says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Ephesians 4:13 speaks of a time when we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now this perfect man begins through the heart of the child. In Luke 18:7, this is, verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Remember, the kingdom of God is within. John 3:7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or more correctly, born from above. Gospel of Thomas 4, Jesus said, the person, olden days, won't hesitate to ask a little child, 7 days old, about the place of life, and that person will live. For many of the first will be last, and will become a single one. So the child is the example, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. The Gospel of Thomas 21, Mary Magdalene said to Jesus, what are your disciples like? And he said, they are like little children living in a field that is not theirs. When the owners of the field come, they will say, give us back our field. They take off their clothes in front of them in order to give it back to them, and they return their field to them. Notice, the field does not belong to them, to the children. We are in this world, but not of it. And here's the key. The field is the world. Matthew 13:38 says, "The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." The Gospel of Philip, it says, "Some are afraid lest they rise naked. Because of this, they wish to rise in flesh, and they do not know that it is those who wear the flesh who are naked. It is those who unclothe themselves who are not naked. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's 1 Corinthians 15:50. So we talk here about being clothed, and we talk about being naked. Everything's an inversion in the spiritual realm. The children who take off their clothes in order to give back the world are those who have cast off the things of the flesh, taken on the things of the spirit. This is stuff that's all over your Bible when you simply take the time to read it carefully and integrate it with that one key verse. The kingdom of God is within you. The following was a dream I received this morning, April 8th, 2012. Imagine being in a totally darkened space. The walls are as a partition, a seemingly solid, endless curtain. As you move about the space, you grip the surface, heavy, black, impenetrable. Using just your eyes, it appears there are no openings. But as your natural senses fail to penetrate this veil, over time you perceive tiny little breaches, micro holes. Soon you begin to assimilate the wall. In fact, your physical being begins to shift and you perceive a change in your surroundings. Tiny micro holes begin to open. Seeing them, you now realize the surface is not so solid, and that your own being is also taking on a similar quality. Your senses, those five physical ones, at first deny this state. They protest to the mind that you are still trapped, but the knowing inside you fights that so-called reality. The substance and senses are both reaching a balancing of frequencies. Sound begins to take on new dimensions. The heartbeat slows. The breath becomes more measured. Fingers extend beyond this veil and the eyes follow. Tiny pin dots of light begin to show. The substance of darkness slowly starts to yield to the pinholes. One tiny microwave of light fills the mind as it perceives this new truth. Begins to explore the surface again and again. Millions of pinholes begin to reveal themselves. The substance of the space begins to collapse. Both the wall and the body take on the same vibration until the very space itself dissolves into nothing. And you emerge into the brightness of the reality which was always just on the other side of this impenetrable wall. In a sense, this is the state of our human condition, our spiritual state. We have walked around behind walls which hold us only because we believe them to be real. This is the three-dimensional world into which we were born, and everything in our sensory perceptual understanding was entrained to accept these limitations. What changes is not the substance, but our own perceptions, as we come to know our own limitations and also our own state of captivity. We can either accept that state, we can fight against it, or we can change the one thing that has the ability to show us the greatest truth. Our limitations are self-imposed. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, it says, the Savior said, "All nature, All formations, all creatures exist in and with one another. And they will be resolved again into their own roots. For the nature of matter is resolved into the roots of its own nature alone. He who has ears, let him hear. In a lot of ways, the distinctions between spirituality and physics have now dissolved. For those who are able to grasp the concepts that I've been talking about on this show for over a year now, the fabric of 3D reality is beginning to dissolve. In the Gospel of Philip, it says this: light and darkness, life and death, right and left are brothers of one another. They are inseparable. Because of this, neither are the good good, nor the evil evil. Nor is life like, nor death death. For this reason, each one will dissolve into its earliest origin. But those who are exalted above the world are indissoluble, eternal. Names given to the worldly are very deceptive, for they divert our thoughts and from what is correct to what is incorrect. This one who hears the word God does not perceive what is correct, but perceives what is incorrect. So also with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit and life and light and resurrection and the church, the ecclesia, and all the rest. People do not perceive what is correct, but they perceive what is incorrect, unless they have come to know what is correct. The names which are heard in the world deceive. If they were in the aeon, the eternal realm, they would at no time be used as names in the world, nor were they set among worldly things. They have an end in the aeon or the age. One single name is not uttered in the world, and the name which the Father gave to the Son. It is the name above all things, the name of the Father, for the Son would not become Father unless he wore the name of the Father. Those who have this name know it, but they do not speak it. But those who do not have it do not know it. That's from the Gospel of Philip. The age in which we are now living has moved past the model of Newtonian mechanisms, the solid state of electrons and neutrons, the forces of gravity, and we are moving into a new age where physical reality is, so we could say, in a state of flux. An electron now may be a particle or a wave. Nobel laureate Max Born said, quote, "To measure space coordinates and instants of time, rigid measuring rods and clocks are required. On the other hand, to measure momenta and energies, devices are necessary with movable parts to absorb the impact of the test object and indicate the size of its momentum. Paying regard to the fact that quantum mechanics is competent for dealing with the interaction of objects and apparatus, it is seen that no arrangement is possible that will fulfill both requirements simultaneously." In other words, once again, matter resolves into its own form. This is the premise of the 1927 theorem by physicist Werner Heisenberg, a contemporary of Einstein. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle was a monumental discovery and an early part of the development of quantum theory. It implies that it is impossible to simultaneously measure the present position while also determining the future position of a particle of any system small enough to require quantum mechanical treatment. In other words, all things are in flux, or as Master Jesus stated above, the nature of matter is resolved into the roots of its own nature. An electron, for instance, can be impeded by a block in its path. Seemingly physical limitation, yet as physicist Niels Bohr demonstrated, it can change states to overcome the limitation. Bohr states, an electron's energy levels, also called electron shells, can be imagined as concentric circles around the nucleus. Normally, Electrons exist in the ground state, meaning they occupy the lowest energy level possible, the electron shell closest to the nucleus. When an electron is excited by adding energy to an atom, for example, when it is heated, the electron will absorb energy and jump to a higher energy level and spin in the higher energy level. After a short time, this electron will spontaneously fall back to a lower energy level, giving off a quantum of light energy. We talk about Jesus, we talk about resurrection, we talk about the transfiguration. And the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, speak of this in Matthew 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9. It's described as well in the book of 2 Peter. In Matthew 17, 1, it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up on a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as the light. And behold, there also appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him." Right within the pages of your Bible is given an incredible account of Jesus' amazing shift of states from a solid non-physical, from a solid physical human into an ethereal light being. Again, from Niels Bohr, "When an electron is excited by adding energy to an atom, the electron will absorb energy and jump to a higher energy level and then spin in the higher energy level, and after a short period of time, the electron will give off a quantum of light energy." Let's take a break here. We'll come back on the other side. We'll tell you about what all this science means and why it relates to the spiritual state of the true believers in the days ahead as we reach out and tap into the universe. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the other side of the threshing floor. For April 8th, 2012. And we're moving into the realm of transfiguration, of transformation. We're moving into the realm of the quantum. Centuries after Yeshua the Christ walked upon the earth, scientists began to examine the mechanics of transfiguration. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and his face shining as the sun, and his raiment, his cloak, his light body, as white as the whitest light. When we examine carefully the stories inside the scripture, we begin to see some symmetry as well. If you are able to move outside the three-dimensional construct of your own thought, of the religious world, the world which worships a book instead of the spirit which that book honors, if you are able to move your mind beyond the black veil and begin to penetrate the substance of the veil around you, you begin to understand that something very mysterious and something very magical is possible. Let's examine one other event which occurred much earlier, almost 1,000 years before Jesus. For that, we go back into the Hebrew book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And as the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" He said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry land. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, thou see me when I am taken from thee. It shall be unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. He became naked. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. Meaning he has now taken off his natural clothes and he has put on the mantle of Elijah, the light body. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Remember well the details of the story. There are elements involved we will talk about again. For now, we have some cryptic descriptions of two events where the physical was transformed into light. The presence of water. Notice, for instance, that both Jesus and Elijah wore cloaks, and they both were transformed. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as the light, says Matthew 17. Elijah ascends into what is called a chariot of fire, or what is also described in verse 1 as a whirlwind. Mark 9 describes Jesus' state as, quote, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Jesus became luminescent. The language of the ancient text is often hard-pressed to exactly confer certain details. The descriptions are of things which are commonly understood. The description of Elijah's transfiguration, we have two descriptions. A whirlwind, and also chariots and horses of fire. Again, according to Niels Bohr, when an electron is excited by adding energy to an atom, the electrons will absorb energy and jump to a higher energy level and spin in the higher energy level. Did you hear that? Electrons spin as they ascend into the higher energy levels. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 1. One more instance of the transfiguration. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And in verse 19 it says, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels, the circuits, were lifted up. What is Elijah describing here? Living beings, flying, wheels within wheels, beings of light, with fire that folds in on itself. A living form of a spacecraft. Beings who propel themselves through the dimensions energetically. beings from another dimension, the chariots of Israel, spiritual Israel, Israel which is above, which is the mother of us all. So much for the physical Israel within the earth. Let's go over to Exodus 34. You want a little more proof? And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in his hand, when he had come down from the mount, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. If you follow the patterns given by these advanced spiritual beings, Jesus, Elijah, Ezekiel, and Moses, you begin to notice there are elements common to the story. There is an effect, a quantum effect, that bears remarkable consistency with descriptions of energy and matter under the laws of physics, which have only been discovered or perhaps rediscovered in the last 100 years. These events occur near water. Sometimes they occur as the result of taking authority over water. Remember that in a sense Jesus parted waters as well. Did he not walk on the waters? Didn't Peter also climb out of the boat and walk upon the waters? Is that not part of a double portion as well? The literal 3D interpretations of the religious works have been likewise trapped inside a dark, hermetically sealed room, behind a veil of mystical literalism. Religion has sought to keep you ignorant of who you are and what you are. It created a veil that separated you from the essential truth that you are a spirit, a divine being of indescribable power. The quanta, plural, is an innumerable measure of the divine expression through the human creation. It is the self of the Creator, fractalized and expressed in unfolding novelty. You are unique, yet also possess the properties of the original source, a potential, waiting for its moment of activation. In the Gospel of Philip, we have this narrative. Jesus took them all by stealth, for he did not appear as he was, but in the manner in which they would be able to see him. He appeared to them all. He appeared to the great as great, and to the small as small. He appeared to the angels as an angel, and to men as a man. Because of this, his word hid itself from everyone. Some indeed saw him, thinking that they were seeing themselves. But when he appeared to his disciples in glory on the mount, he was not small. He became great, but he made the disciples great that they might be able to see him in his greatness. Did you see that? He made the disciples great that they might be able to see him in his greatness. This is what a merciful creator does. He raises the elements up to his own level. We are beings in transition. We are clothed yet naked. We are material yet possessed within us, because the kingdom of God is within, the very material of the higher realms waiting to be unleashed. John 14:12 says, "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus went to the Father to raise the level of the playing field. He made them great that they might be able to see him in his greatness. He makes you great that you might be able to venerate him in your greatness. The quanta of energy, the spiritual power, magnified the ascended master. The Christ was not some rare elevated God being that we should grovel after, that we should wallow in our sins, beating our chests and crying out in darkness. He was and is the first of a kind, a first fruit, a new creature destined to walk through this age in power, knowing who he is and manifesting the path, the straight gate, for humanity to ascend beyond the layers of matter in time. In the book Holodynamics, Dr. V. Vernon Wolf describes this process. As information is received and relayed by your senses, your central nervous system organizes and encodes it for transmission to your brain. Senses, which are particle focused, send information to the left hemisphere of your brain for rational processing. Senses, which are wave focused, send information to the right hemisphere for intuitive processing. This sensory input is then stored within the protein strings of your brain as living, multidimensional images called holodynes, which interact on your holodynamic plane. Here, your mind accepts and aligns these holodynes and files them for future use, according to a deep underlying order of life, an order that is called the implicate order. We are born here as shells, which hide the internal being. We are to put on righteousness, the idea of shells, the idea of seeds, except a seed fall to the ground and die, it shall not live. Our proper state, in fact, is shedding off the garment of the flesh, putting on robes of white, our light bodies, and to receive the energetic manual that moves through us, through the circuits above, matter and time, the renewing of our minds. Close this out with something from the Gospel of Philip. He said on that day, in the thanksgiving, he being Jesus, "You who have joined the perfect light with the Holy Spirit, unite the angels with us also as being the images. Do not despise the Lamb, for without it is not possible to see the King. No one is able to go into the King if he is naked." All of this points to a decision to align yourself with that intuitive sense, that dream state, the part of you inside that understands things, not from the literal, not from the rational, but from the intuitive right brain sense of destiny that you now embrace through a spirituality that's not bound by religion, not bound by books, not bound by the words and the acts of men, but bound by the spiritual laws that you yourself were created by, that you should be made great, that you would see Him in His greatness. This is The Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. The truth is out there. It's inside you. Keep looking for it. We'll be back again with another show very soon.